Good afternoon, Cell Group, and welcome back to our consideration of last Sunday's Gospel, which was the piece from Luke chapter 9, verses 28 to 36. Now, this account is also found in Matthew and Mark, and there are differences, of course, in Luke's version. But I think, first of all, the fact that it's in all three synoptic Gospels shows you that this was a highly significant event for the early church, for the disciples of Jesus, the people who followed him, and in the memories of them when these accounts were being gathered by the evangelists. It was as significant, I think, as the events of the passion and death of Christ. So it's a lovely thing to have put in front of us on this second Sunday of Lent. And it has a meaning for us, which is around Lent, that we're preparing for Easter, just as Jesus was preparing for his, as Luke says, his passing, his exodus. He uses the word exodus and Jerusalem. So it also gives us a kind of a lift as we plod through all the efforts that we're making during Lent, that we're supposed to be making anyway, to give us a vision of the glory that awaits those who are faithful, those who are listening. Praying comes up a lot in this, and that's one of Luke's themes. He mentions prayer, the prayer of Jesus, about twice as many times as the other two synoptics. So this section starts with prayer. Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up the mountain to pray. So as he prayed, the aspect of his face was changed and his clothing became brilliant as lightning. That brilliant as lightning, and also the two men talking to him, gives us a wee memory of the empty tomb. That they had two men at the empty tomb and their clothes were brilliant as lightning. So they were Moses and Elijah appearing in glory, and they were speaking of his passing, his exodus, literally, which he was to accomplish in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is mentioned by Luke in particular because he would see Jerusalem as the centre of salvation. And he writes his gospel for Gentile Christians. So they need some kind of education. A Jewish person would take it for granted that Jerusalem was the centre of salvation, but the Gentiles wouldn't be so familiar with that idea. But it's interesting the use of the word Exodus, and it can be taken as just as the Exodus for the original Jewish people from Egypt was a salvific event, so the Exodus for us, the new people of God, will be a significant salvific event. It'll save us his passion, death and resurrection. So all of that then has been talked about by Moses and Elijah, two figures who were to appear at the end times. Moses would come back. This was the hope and the promise, and Elijah. And again, for Luke, he would see Jesus as the new Moses and also a new Elijah. So moving on then, Peter and his companions were heavy with sleep, but they kept awake and saw his glory and the two men standing with him. So Luke is significant that he has them awake, remaining awake. As these were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is wonderful for us to be here." That use of the word master isn't just another term for Lord or teacher, but master denotes a very special relationship that he would have had with Jesus as the Lord and Master. "It is wonderful for us to be here, so let us make three tents. one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He did not know what he was saying. And then as he spoke, a cloud came and covered them with shadow. That reference to a cloud is, I wouldn't say common, but it happens quite a few times in the Old Testament, and that cloud denotes the presence of God. So the cloud covers them, and when they go into the cloud, the disciples were afraid. Sort of the awe of the presence of God, that they know they're in the presence of God and they're filled with awe. And a voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, the chosen one, listen to him." Again, a reference backwards to the baptism of Jesus. "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased, listen to him." So listening to him is the commandment that Jesus wants to give them as he journeys towards Jerusalem. It's a good commandment for us as we journey towards Easter, to listen to him, to listen to what Christ is saying to us. And after the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. The disciples kept silence and at that time told no one what they had seen. So usually Jesus says, don't tell anybody what happened. But the disciples kept silence of their own volition. And there's an element there of trying to come to terms with it. What happened up there? How can we tell anybody? Because we can't understand it ourselves. We can't get our heads around it. So it's a voluntary silence rather than one that's imposed. It's silence descends on them. So a couple of other things that I just want to pick up on. The other two synoptics, Matthew and Mark, use the word metamorphosis or transfiguration. But it's avoided in Luke because this metamorphosis thing happened sometimes in pagan cults. They believed in that happening in their own pagan cults. So when Luke is writing for Gentiles, he avoids this because they might think this is just another pagan cult. Okay. Now then, what do we talk about? This mountaintop experience was one that affirmed Jesus' identity as the beloved disciple of God and strengthened him for the future. What have been the experiences and moments of insight that have clarified your sense of who you are and being beloved by God? And a second one, for the disciples, the experience served as a reminder that their task as they accompanied Jesus on the road to Jerusalem was really to listen to him. This puts our Lenten efforts into context. What have you found helpful to get you to listen and to understand more deeply the meaning of the life and message of Jesus? So a prayer for you and the group and what's all your work together, your time together. God of the Covenant, your presence fills us with awe. Your word gives us unshakable hope. Fix in our hearts the image of your Son in glory that sustained on the path of discipleship, we may pass over with him to newness of life. We make our prayer through Christ, our deliverance and hope, who lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen. God bless you, and God bless your work together.